This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 1205. It's great to have you with us for the Tuesday edition of the Noon Business Hour. I'm Cisco Cotto.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. Mostly sunny skies today, a high of 52. We're at 50 degrees right now at O'Hare.
The Noon Business Hour is presented by the Village of Bedford Park. Let's kick things off on a down day on Wall Street with the latest at Bloomberg. Here's Jeff Bellinger.
And Cisco, the market's not down as much as it was once. Earlier this morning, the Dow Jones Industrials are down 253 points, 25,062. The Nasdaq's down 76. S&P 500 is down 30. All of the indexes down about 1% now. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index is down 1.25%. We've been talking a lot about McDonald's shares today. They're having their best day in 3 years. The stock is up at the moment 6.25%. McDonald's posted worldwide comparable store sales, the topped estimates. McDonald's CEO Steve Easterbrook said in the company's earnings call today that some new items will be added to the breakfast menu soon. He didn't say what the items will be. McDonald's has been doing some testing in regional markets. And demand for motorcycles, not what it once was. Harley-Davidson reported the biggest sales decline in more than 8 years. Harley executives said in their earnings call that the customer base is shrinking and there is no quick fix. Back to you.
Thanks, Jeff. On today's Noon Business Hour, what is behind today's sell-off and who's getting hit? We'll take a look at the tech and marijuana sectors in the markets. And McDonald's will have a little more information on its earnings report.
On Travel Tuesday, how tech is helping people travel, how AI is going to help you plan where you're going to go. All of that and loads more on today's Noon Business Hour.
A deposit for your future. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
The jackpot for tonight's Mega Millions drawing has reached a record $1.6 billion. We're going to talk about where all the money generated by the game is actually going to go. But right now, it's a rough day on Wall Street. We're checking in with Chuck Carlson, CEO of Horizon Investment Services, publisher of the Dow Theory Forecast newsletter in Hammond. Chuck, welcome back to the Noon Business Hour. We'd like to hear your read on today's sell-off, and what does the Dow Theory say?
Well, the last major signal under the Dow Theory was in late September when both the Dow Industrials and Transports both went to new all-time highs. So that's the last signal that we're working under, which is a bull market, primary bull market. So at this point, we're regarding this correction as that, a correction within a bull market. Now, several things have to happen here. One of the things is that we finally, you know, we'll see this market kind of bottom out on this correction and then have a rebound. And we'll have to look at the vigor of that rebound to kind of get a better bead on what the Dow Theory is saying. But right now, the last major signal is bullish, and that's a signal we're working under. What's happening today is really what causes most markets to kind of have declines. And right now, we're in the midst of earnings season. So this is going to be a market that's very attuned to the corporate earnings story. And the earnings that came out today just weren't what investors were hoping for, particularly with some big industrial stocks such as Caterpillar and 3M. And so now the market is kind of trying to weigh and make adjustments to a number of factors. One, is the corporate earnings story kind of crumbling here? How are stocks going to behave in an environment where interest rates seemingly are on the rise? And typically what you get out of that is the type of volatility that we're seeing, the type of shift in market leadership. There are certain stocks today that are actually doing okay, such as the Verizons and some of the defensive stocks. So, you know, it's very clear markets in an adjustment period here, and just how deep that adjustment is going to go, we'll have to wait and see. But it's still a bull market, according to the Dow Theory.
Is this a day in which you want to go and sell things and buy things, or do you sit it out primarily?
I think it's, you know, one of the things smart investors do, especially those that are looking not necessarily over the next 24 hours or even 24 days, but are looking over the next 24 months or longer, is, you know, you have to take advantages of opportunities that present themselves during these types of corrections. So that may not necessarily mean you know, adding net to your equity exposure, but certainly using these periods to upgrade. I mean, if there's a stock out there that you have been wanting to buy, but you thought it was too expensive, and now it isn't, you know, take a look at what you own. And if it's a stock out there that's better than what you own, or at least you perceive it better, yeah, you should be taking advantage of these things, these opportunities to upgrade portfolios. I don't think necessarily you need to add, you know, a net exposure, positive exposure to your equity allocation, but certainly using them to upgrade into quality stocks that are pulling back, I think, is the way to go.
We, for a long time, heard, obviously, the trade wars going on or saber-rattling and wondering if the tariffs would actually start to impact any companies. Now some, I'm thinking specifically Caterpillar, are saying, yes, indeed, they are having an effect.
Yeah, and you know, they've been having a perception effect in terms of stocks sensitive to those things for a while now. You look at a lot of the kind of the multinational economically sensitive stocks, and they had not been performing very well. And I think there was a point where people felt that, you know, the tariff issue was purely an economic issue, and some resolution would come out of that sooner rather than later. I think what's happening, and again, this is part of this market adjustment, into thinking that perhaps, you know, the current administration is using tariffs not just as an economic tool, but also a tool, not militarily, but something more akin to the Cold War we had with Russia. And that, you know, that was an economic war that became something much more. And if that's the case, and that is the plan to use tariffs and things like that, to try to gain, advantage or capitulation with China over other, wider issues, then the end game of that becomes a lot longer out. And I think that's something that's bothering investors right now as well.
Yeah, because a lot of investors thought, oh, this will just, you know, a month or two, they'll kind of hash it out and they'll figure something out. Now, if it looks like it's going to be a longer run thing, that's a bigger deal.
It is. And I have to tell you, I was probably one of those people that thought this would be something that would be hashed out sooner rather than later. And I, you know, and there is still all the possibility that you could get some relief on that end. However, you know, it seems like Wall Street is starting to come around with the idea that this is not something that is purely economic. There are other intentions here, and, you know, it kind of clouds then exactly what is the end game and how long this can go on for. And I think that's one of the reasons why, you know, you've seen this increased volatility in the market.
Chuck, always nice to have you on the program. Thanks for joining us. Chuck Carlson, CEO of Horizon Investment Services, publisher of the Dow Theory Forecast newsletter in Hammond. And this is a day in which the former Fed chief, Paul Volcker, says we're in a big mess.
Coming up, how winning tonight's Mega Millions jackpot could complicate your life.
The best daily deal in Chicago, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
The odds are extremely long, but a potentially huge payoff awaits tonight's record Mega Millions drawing. Grand prize of more than $1.6 billion. Let's take a closer look at some of the math involved. Liberty Vittert is joining us, professor in statistics at Washington University in St. Louis. Professor Vittert, thanks for being with us. Let's talk about the odds at first, because a lot of people holding those tickets, they really think this could be the winner. What are the chances that it is?
In a word, none. But, you know, I mean, we always got to have hope. The real chance is about 1 in 302 million, which really, you know, means nothing to anybody. But it means that you're three times more likely to be killed by a vending machine. So, you know, that's one way to die. Or probably the easiest way to think about it is that if you flip a coin 30 times, it's the chance of getting the heads every single time.
Yeah, very, very, very unlikely, it sounds like. So let's talk about states. Obviously, they do the lotteries because they make a lot of money on it. They keep telling us here in Illinois and otherwise, it's about education and funding schools. Is that really how the money ends up getting used?
Well, it's a little bit of a sneaky bait and switch. A lot of the money does go to funding public education, but when we were originally sold the idea of these lotteries in the 60s and 70s, it was the idea that this money would be additional funding to our public education. So you're going to lose, but at least your money is going to go to something good. But what's happened over the years is that the money actually just funds the budget. So they assume they're going to get X amount of money from the lotto every year, and they budget for that. So really, the money ends up getting spent on something else.
Liberty, have you ever bet on something like this?
Oh my gosh, I'm as guilty as everybody else. I have 3 tickets in my pocket right now. Oh my gosh, I'm just as bad as anyone else.
So what do you expect to do tax-wise? I mean, if you're the winner or if someone listening is the winner, everyone hears $1.6 billion, but they're not going to end up with anything close to that.
Well, if someone's listening who's the winner, then you got to give me a little bit of a cut of it. I'll come be your personal statistician. But really what ends up happening is you take a lump sum, which is the smartest way to do it. You end up getting $904 million. But, you know, then you have federal tax holding, you have your income tax, you have a state tax, depending upon you live. And, you know, really the person will probably end up getting about $530 million, which sounds really awful compared to 1.6, but you know, if someone wants to give me $530 million, I'm not going to turn my nose up at them.
Yeah, kind of tough to complain about. Any lucky numbers for people looking to increase their odds? Are there certain numbers that are actually maybe luckier?
I hate to break it to people who always pick 7 or their birthday, but the best chance you got is to do the lucky dip. Just do the absolute total random number picking, and that's your best shot.
All right. Really good insight.
Thanks for all the information, Liberty, and hope you win tonight.
Me too.
Yeah, if you
I'll
do,
let you know.
We'll have you back on tomorrow if you do, by the way.
That's right. You can buy our lunch.
Yeah, for sure.
Liberty Vitter was our guest today. She's a professor in statistics at Washington University in St. Louis.
Still ahead, Travel Tuesday, an update on some of the tech trends in travel. WBBM News Time, 12:25, a check of the markets from Bloomberg, sponsored by Baird. Here's Jeff Bellinger.
And the selling pressure seems to have eased up a little bit. It's too soon to get overly optimistic, but we may be seeing some dip buying now. The Dow Jones Industrials are down 180 points, 25,135. The NASDAQ is down 61 points. S&P 500 is down 22. Been talking about McDonald's shares. They are up 6.5%. Investors very happy about the chain's global sales for the latest quarter. And CEO Steve Easterbrook says the breakfast menu will be enlarged soon. The last new nationwide addition to breakfast was the McGriddle. That was 15 years ago. Now we check in with Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities. Pete.
And at the Chicago Board of Trade today, we have, after being mixed early, we have higher prices. December corn up 3 at 372.5. March up 3 at 384.75. Beans for November up 3.75, 862.25. March is up 3.5 at 889.25. And December wheat up 3 at 511. Prices higher here as we go in towards the close. And this is Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal.
And the Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg is down 0.7% this hour. With business at 25 and 55 and in the noon business hour, live from the Bloomberg newsroom, I'm Jeff Bellinger, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
WBBM News Time, 12:30. Good afternoon. I'm Cisco Cotto.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM.
Markets are taking a hit, but are off earlier lows. We'll see what's moving Wall Street.
It's Travel Tuesday. We explore the expanding use of biometrics and robots in travel.
Shares of McDonald's are sharply up today following a positive third quarter earnings report.
The Chicago City Council is holding its latest round of budget hearings.
The Saudi royal family claims the murder of a journalist critical of their reign was the work of rogue killers.
Wall Street right now, the Dow down 227, the NASDAQ off 68, S&P 500 down by about 23.
Sunshine in Chicagoland throughout the day, high of 52, that's right about where we are now. 48 O'Hare, 49 Midway, 51 along the lakefront. The Noon Business Hour is presented by the Village of Bedford Park.
And let's talk about Wall Street with Art Hogan, Chief Market Strategist at B. Riley FBR in New York. Welcome back to the Noon Business Hour, Art. Describe what you saw on Wall Street this morning.
Interesting kind of day. I mean, obviously, we opened down on what we thought were the lows, down about 300 or 400. We actually rallied a bit and then sold off significantly more than that. We cut those losses about in half. And I think we've got 3 main concerns. First and foremost, it's earnings season. There are going to be companies like 3M that tell us that they need to cut their guidance for the next few quarters because of input costs and fears of tariffs. The second thing, the same thing, you know, Caterpillar Tractor has got a similar kind of guidance that wasn't as robust as it's perhaps looking for. So that's one thing. I think the second, and probably as important as anything, during earnings reporting season, we seem to be getting further away from China. not closer to China in terms of negotiations. So everything we're hearing from the administration is anti-China right now. So any thought that perhaps we'd have a deal, you know, on or around the midterm elections or sometime in 2018 has really been pushed out. I think that's got folks concerned about how much more that could slow the economy down, both domestically and globally. And I think that's really attacking stocks as well.
But what's what happened to the technology stocks this morning?
So in general, tech has been for sale. It's been for sale for about a month. I will tell you this. There's three things. Once momentum starts moving like this, it's hard to stop that. I think it started with the semiconductors with some questions about supply that came out with the KLA about 3 or 4 weeks ago. And then each and every name has been looked at with a fine-tooth comb in terms of valuation and been taken to the woodshed. And then the other set of technology that's been for sale continues to be for sale on social media. So Facebook continues to find different ways to disappoint. You know, we're concerned about Washington and what they might do in terms of regulatory oversight for the social media stocks, and that won't necessarily stop with Facebook. So all the momentum names seem to be taking it on the chin, but mostly social media and semiconductors in general.
So are there buying opportunities then in the tech sector? Is a lot of these stocks are taking it on the chin?
Yeah, I would tell you that old technology, when that gets sold out, is probably more attractive than some of the new disruptors. When I say that, things like Cisco, and Cisco, you know, pays a nice dividend. It's got a lot of cash on its balance sheet. Probably not affected by any things that are affecting the semiconductor cycle or the social media cycle. So I certainly think that, you know, if you wanted to pick an old technology stock that's paying a 3.5-4% dividend and, you know, trading at a fair market multiple, has a lot of cash on the balance sheet, that's why I wouldn't want my tech exposure.
Art, let's talk about the pot stocks, because as it was legalized in Canada and even in many weeks before, a lot of these stocks were kind of run up and now they're getting hammered. Is that still a risky sector for people to start meddling in?
Well, it's still too soon because we don't have enough supply. And by that, I mean, there's not enough publicly traded companies for us to get involved with and make recommendations, you know, as a firm. I think it's going to be a, you know, a fantastic sector that's going to be very important as an investment theme over the next couple of years, but we need more companies to choose from. So when your publicly traded options, you know, are about a handful of companies, they are going to get bid up and probably overpriced. That's what we've gone through over the last month or so. And then that's going to sell off a bit, and that's what we're going through right now, probably will for the next week or two as we reset valuations to kind of make sense for the total addressable market. So I think it's very exciting. I think the space is going to be great, but I just think we need more publicly traded options right now. It's a little too dangerous. And until the United States gets this legalized at a federal level, you know, unfortunately, we're kind of stuck with looking at what's in Canada. And there's a ton of M&A activity going on right now. So I just think it's a space where you have to tread lightly until there's more options.
In general, on a day like this, Art, are you buying or selling or thinking of what you're going to buy and sell? Or do you sit and watch, or are you actively involved in changing things?
You know what, Chris, that's a great question. On days like this, we spend about 90% of our time, you know, talking to our clients and making sure, you know, nobody's out there panicking. This is, you know, one of those things that's more normal than it's not. I think the fact that we went through the entire third quarter with 0.1% moves and now we've had 8 in the last 11 days, I think that, you know, is telling us that there's a bit of volatility coming to the market right now, which is normal. But I think, you know, we'll work our way through this and answer a lot of those questions that we have. Not the time to panic, certainly the time to look at your asset allocation model. If you've gotten over your skis and stocks and your asset allocation model has gone up, you want to make sure you rebalance that back to where you want to be. And certainly make that list of things that if they pull back and you have an opportunity, you want to get involved. So everybody has a name or two in their portfolio that they just feel like they've missed. That opportunity may be coming up for you right now.
Are the real winners the people who, in times like this, where you see these wild swings, where they have a little cash on the side and they're able to jump in at some of these stocks as they're headed down and maybe of greater value?
Yeah, I think the real winners are people that stick to their plans, first and foremost, and have cash on the balance sheet when there's opportunities like this to take advantage of that. So I think the third thing is, it's the real winners are the folks that have been consistently sticking the plan and dollar cost averaging every month, like almost all of us do in our 401k. So this is, you know, why they call it dollar cost averaging. There's going to be months like this. This is a tricky one for us. Midterm elections tend to be volatile in the beginning of the fourth quarter and end up better historically in the end of the fourth quarter. So, you know, if history repeats itself here, we're probably finding some pretty good buying opportunities over the next week or two. And you want to keep your pencils sharp.
All right. Thanks for joining us today, Art. Always nice to have you on the show with us. Art Hogan is Chief Market Strategist, B. Riley, FBR in New York. And up next, Travel Tuesday, how technology is increasingly impacting how we travel.
Money Talks as the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Travel Tuesday on the Noon Business Hour, sponsored by Kaler Luggage. Today we're examining the busy intersection of technology and travel. We welcome Paul Hochman, president of Humongous Media, former tech editor for The Today Show, based in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Paul, we're talking about technology and how it will impact the way we travel. I guess we had to assume things like AI and biometrics that, well, those would end up affecting just about every area of our lives, including travel.
They are. In fact, travel is what's interesting. I've actually interacted with brand new versions of this myself recently. I signed up for what's called CLEAR, C-L-E-A-R. CLEAR is doing this in conjunction with Delta and other airlines. But CLEAR, if you volunteer to do this, but you basically give them fingerprints and an iris scan, and it does it amounts to close to TSA-level speed through security lines. So I guess the benefit that accrues to the traveler is, for example, you get that speed. You get, if in a busy long line, you don't have to worry about it. The drawback is something I was aware of and probably aware of after I did it when I had my irises scanned. But when I realized I had just given away very obviously personal information. So the trade-off in many cases in all the technology in travel is going to be convenience versus security.
As you mentioned, it's that way in just about all of the uses of this technology. Little by little, we are having to give up more of our information and data if we want to get that convenience.
That's right. And the parallel is obvious for anybody who's, you know, browsed using Google or another browser, is that you're getting that information for free. In other words, the amazing power of that browsing software and everything else and the platform under it is giving you information for free. You don't have to pay for it. The what you are paying with, though, as you just said, is your data, is your information, is your browsing habits, all that. So in the end, all travel, whether you're going to the airport in Germany, in Japan and so forth, or in England where this is all rolling out, Sydney Airport it's happening too, by end-to-end biometric-enabled passenger processing is what they're planning on. And what that means is that you're going to be recognized and there's going to be conveniences that accrue to you, like ads that you want to see or speed in the security line. But guess what? You just gave up literally your personal information.
And then down the road, not just at the airport, where will this technology be used?
Well, even in the airplane. In other words, Panasonic, for example, is teamed up with other hardware manufacturers and software manufacturers to basically offer you seatback entertainment and amenities that correspond literally personally with your needs. So you won't just see it in the airport. You won't just see it when you're traveling in your automobile. You'll actually see it in the airplane itself. So at 40,000 feet or 35,000 feet, you too will have your information borrowed, and they will hopefully give you something worth it.
And what about robots? Seeing more and more of those, not only in the airports, also on the airplanes, sort of all over the place.
Oh my gosh, they're everywhere. In airport in Incheon is going to have robots that scan for security purposes that maybe help with luggage. I've seen them even long before this. I went out to the Intuit campus out in Mountain View, California. They make QuickBooks and TurboTax. They have robots going all over their campus doing deliveries. Literally, robots lined up in little lines that once in a while depart without anybody seeming to move them themselves because they're programmed by software or an app. And they deliver documents and other things from one place to another on the campus. So, before we limit this to just travel, it's happening. I think it's going to start very subtly, but the airports are definitely someplace you'll see them soon.
All right. We'll be watching for it. Thanks so much for joining us today. Paul Hochman is president of Humongous Media, former tech editor for The Today Show in Massachusetts. And join us at this time tomorrow for Personal Finance Wednesday. Still to come, menu price increases don't slow down a McDonald's sales growth streak.
Your daily transaction for useful information. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
McDonald's is out with a third quarter report that tops analyst expectations. We are joined by Matt Shapiro, president of MWS Capital in Chicago. Matt, tell us what you saw in this report.
Well, just top of the line report, Chris. Comps, especially internationally, were very strong. That really pleased investors. Up over 5% in Europe. High growth markets like Asia Pacific, again, very strong. U.S. market, very decent. McDonald's is investing billions of dollars in rolling out the new upgraded stores. That kind of slowed things down a little bit, but actually really good cost controls on the margin level in the U.S. in terms of paper, employment costs, people talking about inflation, actually very well in control. All that leading to just a great report, a dividend raise, returning tons of money back to shareholders, and here we are up $10 in a tough market today. Definitely a happy meal for our customers.
How about its top competitors? How are they doing against McDonald's?
Well, that's one of the things that McDonald's mentioned on the conference call, is that in the United States, competition is very tough. I mean, Taco Bell, Burger King, they all do a great job. Price competition is very strong. But I think what McDonald's is doing is, of course, the opposite of, you know, what Sears has done. McDonald's is making the hard moves to invest lots of money in each of the restaurants to keep them fresh. There's now fresh beef in some of the bigger, you know, the quarter pounder. All these are increasing costs, but it's a reinvestment and reinvigoration of the franchise. And that's why investors are so happy with the results today.
There's a freshness that they're trying to do at the restaurants. Is there also something to their drive-through as well? I notice more and more of the restaurants have the two-lane drive-throughs, just trying to get people in and out as quickly as possible.
You know, it's everything combined. You know, some of the franchises had complained, Cisco, about the costs of some of the digital, the kiosks and all that. And then, you know, if you've driven by a McDonald's that hasn't been freshened up, it's not doing so great. Then you drive by one that's a gleaming brand new one. All these are costs that have to be, absorbed over the long run. So sometimes some of the franchisees aren't so thrilled about it, but all in, it's really creating the kind of movement in the stock that shareholders really like. And in international markets, it's really paying off.
Matt Shapiro, always good to have you on the show. Matt is president of MWS Capital. Bloomberg checks the markets next.
WBBM News Time 12:55. Let's wrap up the market situation now, sponsored by Kaler Luggage. And here's Jeff Bellinger.
And it's still not pretty, but not as ugly as it once was. Dow Jones Industrials down 278 points, 25,038. The Nasdaq's down 91. S&P 500 is down 33. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg is down 1%. Verizon Communications is among the winners. The nation's biggest wireless carrier added more than 500,000 subscribers in the latest quarter. Its profit topped estimates, and Verizon shares are up 3.75%. McDonald's shares still up 6%. As you just heard, shares of the fast food chain are having their best day in 3 years. And shares of United Technologies are up 2%. That company posted a quarterly profit. The top forecast, Verizon, McDonald's, and United Technologies, all components of the Dow Industrials. With business at 25 and 55 and in the noon business hour, live from the Bloomberg Newsroom, I'm Jeff Bellinger, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
WBBM and HD Chicago, WCFS FM and HD1 Elmwood Park, Chicago.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.